We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Expect Casey to try to put a little something extra on the slider here.
Sun comes out from behind a cloud, and suddenly we have sunshine covering the infield. A 1-2 pitch to the plate.
Swing and a miss! He struck him out! He struck him out! He struck him out! Aggies are going to the College World Series!
Howdy guys, welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 30th. We are at the end of the month, and I'll tell you what, it did not go quietly. We have been just getting dumped on with rain and plenty more on the way, huh?
Yeah, which is why we had to wait till today, because I got water damage in my house. So right now my house is basically like a war zone, and it's not going to get better anytime soon.
Yeah.
So not for me.
Not fun. Because unfortunately, I'm up on a hill, so it all runs away, but that's not true for all over the place, unfortunately. But I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Ed Class 14.
And I am Roy May, partially submerged, fighting Texas Ed Class 2015. Yeah, it wasn't for us, it wasn't flooding. It was backup, like nothing could drain. And so it basically backed up from our shower.
Oh,
and
geez.
You know, it happened in the middle of the night, and Megan just so happened to wake up. Yeah, so it's been fun. I think my favorite thing on the planet is dealing with insurance claim adjusters or whatever you call them.
Not the absolute best. I mean, the joys of being a homeowner, the joys that we get to deal with.
Yeah, what's crazy is Sunday. I mean, I knew the rain was coming, but for some reason, I just felt like doing a crawfish boil. So Sunday, I went up to the store and grabbed everything. And the smallest bag they had was 27 or 28 pounds, something like that. And I was like, all right, well, I can make this work. And I got the very last batch pulled off the burner literally right as it started sprinkling. But the boil was fantastic.
I think so. Gotta take the wins, which looks like we had plenty of this past week, which is never a bad deal.
Oh, I cannot imagine how thrilled Schloss was to not see any rain on Sunday. I bet you he was absolutely heated.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was.
Oh, yeah, because I heard his interview. I think it was the pregame interview on Friday. I was listening on the radio, and he was saying, you know, he was talking about the weather and how he's not real thrilled about it. And it was very apparent that he's not a big fan of playing doubleheaders when he doesn't have to. He literally said something on the lines of it better freaking rain tomorrow. Yeah, so it was Saturday. It was before the Saturday game. He was like, yeah, it better freaking rain tomorrow. And I was like, oh boy.
No, it did. It just didn't do it early. I feel like we definitely could have gotten the game in. But
absolutely could have gotten that game in.
I understand the frustrations there. I get it. I mean, you know, when you're compressing two games into one day, that changes a lot of strategy. That changes a lot of focus. And frankly, you know, that does lead to potentially interesting results. I think one of my favorite examples of this, not a true doubleheader per se, but if you go back to 2015, we played a series against Arkansas, and that was a really critical series, as it turned out for us, because we won the first game. We were leading in game two, then it rained out that night. We doubleheaded the next day, proceeded to lose that game we were winning, and lost game three, which knocked us out of national seed contention as the season went on. So that was a critical series. So I understand the frustrations there.
Well, yeah, well, and that was kind of unique because didn't they get going in that? Yeah, they were already going in that game, and it basically got postponed mid-game. So at least
right.
At least you didn't have to deal with that. Softball dealt with that a couple weeks ago, you know, having to finish up a game and then double up a game right on its heels. But yeah, I mean, another series win for the Aggs.
Oh yeah,
I thought Friday was a great game. You know, it was tight, it was contested, but it was a good game, man. And then Saturday, obviously game one, we all know, you know, what happened there. It was, it was nuts though.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I was, what was I doing? I was working or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally checked the game. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like 140, 145.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the bottom of the first. And I was like, oh no. And you know, real quickly got caught up that you know, Georgia had scored 9 runs, and I got in on it. Well, 140 is probably a little earlier than that, but I got caught up on it. I think when the Aggs had put up like just a couple of runs, it was like 9-2.
Right.
And so I caught up on it, and then I finally got home to watch it. But yeah, just what a bonkers game. And I think everybody that's seen it has said it. It's like, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I've seen nine run, you know, I've seen crazy innings. You know, that was a 17 run inning, but I bet you could, you know, for all the stat nerds out there and for all the researchers that exist in baseball, because I think baseball has the most researchers ever when it comes to the, you know, history of the game.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, find me a game where somebody went down nine runs in the top of the first and ended up run ruling the game. Like, find me that.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard sell to find that particular stat. And frankly, I was just very impressed with the mental fortitude to turn that around and be like, hey, we are down nine runs early. We could just submit and be like, all right, we'll just put all cards on game three. Or do you turn around and say, no chance. We know what we're capable of. And you go out, you put up eight in contesting that inning.
Well, I mean, the offense didn't even give the coaching staff to even think about, you know, a possibility like that, where you're like, all right, well, maybe we'll let the pitcher go and what happens happens. But, you know, all of a sudden it's been an hour and 10 minutes. You play one inning of baseball and you're down a run.
Yeah.
That's it. You were just down a run. Exactly. So that was one of the most bonker things I had ever seen in sports. Literally in sports.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely insane.
But it ends up being a fun game. Georgia offense stalls out. Mm-hmm. And we put the foot down on the gas and just I was, they're so fun to watch. I know I say that every week, but this team is just absolutely so fun to watch. And don't get me wrong, with, you know, hearing that they'd scored nine runs in the top of the first, I was like, this may not be one of those games where I'm confident we can come back. But, you know, before we even get through an inning, there it is.
Like, we've seen it now. Like, that's unfortunately what you have done is create an expectation. That's what you've done, because you've shown you can do it.
Well, yeah. And that's, well, I mean, you know, don't give up nine runs if you can avoid it. You know, don't put yourself in the situation to prove that you can do it. But what resiliency by that baseball team.
Oh, yeah.
to do that on Saturday. You know, the second game, another tight one like it was Friday. Didn't go our way. But I'm sure there's something that you would like to talk about the second game.
I mean, I wasn't going to be, I really wasn't going to go that deep into it, but yes, obviously we've had news come out that, tons of visual and plenty of evidence. If you go and look at it, where we do in fact see that the Georgia closer was doctoring the baseball. And that's pretty evident. I'm not going to sit here and dog it, because I know a lot of teams do it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, it's, you know, it's okay, because, yeah, you are cheating. But at the end of the day, here's how you approach the situation, in my humble opinion. I think if you're Schlossnagel, I know he's probably already talked to the SEC or whatever, but I think if you're going to go forward, you know, obviously don't worry about the result of this particular game. I think what you do is, if you see them again, like sometime in the SEC tournament, first things first, you come up and you say, all right, that team over there, you check every single one of those gloves. And we're going to keep on that. Because, like I said, at that point, we already know. Like, you've shown your hand, and the entire internet knows. I mean, John Boy jumped on it. Yeah. And when he jumps on something, that's being broadcast to the world.
Well, what was really interesting to me was, you know, that happens, and then almost it kind of felt like it was in the same breath. The SEC comes out talking about a team that's been cheating at home. And, you know, in a manner that obviously this has been addressed at the major league level, getting live feeds into the, you know, into the dugout.
Right.
I think it was the Schloss interview. He was saying that, you know, that's not going to happen in college anytime soon, because it's so expensive to have the technology to block live streaming inside a dugout. Right. Major leagues does it. But I just thought it was kind of interesting where we had two situations right on top of each other about SEC baseball, and you hate to see that, because it affects, you know, it affects the perception of the conference, quite frankly. I mean, it does to me a little bit. And again, you know, doctoring the ball is something that's a lot more common. Sure. You know, but in today's day and age, we saw everybody's, you know, everybody's a photographer and everybody's, you know, a cameraman, you know, in today's world. And so it was interesting to see that, yeah, because it's obviously pretty blatant and pretty obvious, and to go through and yeah, I saw the John Boy breakdown and some other stuff, and some other kind of views, and, you know, Tim England pulled up a bunch of videos from games earlier in the year from the same pitcher,
which he tends to do.
Yeah, it's again, part of trying to steal signs when you're in the outfield or not in the outfield, but when you're, in second base, is that's kind of just, it's part of baseball.
It is.
Doctoring balls is that's a next step up. That's that to me, doctoring a ball is about like corking a bat.
Sure. Absolutely. It is. And I mean, you saw it. I mean, the guy just went after us with fastballs and with that increased velocity. I mean, like I said, that's not something we were used to, obviously.
Yeah, the spin rate and velocity increasing, and honestly, to blow the six people off the plate that he did should be a red flag enough.
Oh, and it was for virtually every fan. And so when the news started breaking, it was like, this makes a lot more
sense. Yeah, now I get it.
Because I remember, like, post game, I was reading a lot of comments, and people were saying, like, man, we just can't touch this guy. What's going on? Like, this is insane. Like, we haven't seen this. And I was thinking to myself, did we just run into a really, really good pitcher?
Yeah. Or one that just clicks. Yeah. Sometimes they get on the mound, coming out of the bullpen, that's always been so fascinating to me. And you see it some in the pros, obviously, but you see it a lot more in college. Yeah, a kid could come in from the bullpen and have the outing of his life, or a kid can come out of the bullpen, not record an out, and give up six runs.
Right.
And so, there's a little bit more variance in college, obviously, because, quite frankly, they're not professionals. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just kind of have to chalk it up. Like, man, he just had his stuff tonight. Right. But when when you put everything together, obviously there's a little bit different vibe to it. But again, I'm not going to make that as an excuse either, though, because you had seven innings before that guy came in to put up more than five or put up more than four runs. And you didn't. So Georgia was able to contain us.
Right.
This is now 2 weeks in a row. It just absolutely cracks me up. The third game of the series, the opposing team manages to scrape one out of the series and not get swept, and they act like they just won the World Series.
It's it's good to be the king at this point. When you're on top of the mountain, everybody's pumped when they get a chance at you.
I mean, Georgia was like two steps away from dogpiling because they managed to scrape out a win out of a series.
Well, them in Alabama in particular. I mean, my goodness gracious. I mean, I get it. You two have had a lot of success in your athletic programs, and all of a sudden you have A&M, lowly A&M coming in here and just taking one, going up to the top. And really, at no point throughout this year have I seen any kind of arrogance out of this baseball team. No. Like, that's the crazy thing. Like, let's take a great example. Let's go back to Tennessee several years ago when the whole thing with Tony and everybody was like, oh, this team, like, they're so good, but they were cocky and they were a bunch of assholes and people were just like, they wanted to see them lose. Everybody wants to see us lose just because we keep winning, Like, you don't see like any of our guys getting overly frustrated, our guys going out there and acting a fool. We don't do that, which I love. That's a good discipline look for this team.
Yeah, that Vitello team, they were easy to dislike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And it's just a real workman's attitude. And I think and it all starts from the top. I think Tony Vitello is a jerk. And so that, that's going to ruminate through his team. I think Coach Sloss is an absolute professional, and
these days for sure.
and that's what it is. That's the clubhouse. You take after what your coach, one sets as a tone and a pulse, but also what he'll allow. And I think you have to think that when it comes to stuff like that, Schloss isn't real keen on any of that stuff. And I think you can glean that just from his multiple interviews. Whereas Vitello, he was real arrogant about it. And you saw that out of the team. And so they were easy to dislike just because it wasn't because they were winning. It's because they were jerks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that was
or at least just really boastful. And they had just kind of an arrogance about them on the field. So.
So now we find ourselves going into the box this weekend after we take Tarleton on tonight. And, not exactly.
Rice on Wednesday too.
What's that?
We have Rice on Wednesday too.
No, that's next week.
Next week we have two midweeks. We have two midweeks next week.
I think we only have one.
It'd just be singles, right? Yeah. Man, I wouldn't complain if a storm came through and we canceled Tarleton. That's not going to help RPI. You can beat them 100-0, and it's not going to help your RPI.
No, you're going to have LSU for three games. Yeah, Rice after that, then Ole Miss, then we have the Tuesday off, and then we play Arkansas at Bluebell. So that's how we're kind of rolling out the rest of the season. So two road weekends coming up that are both very prevalent. We got to take care of business against two teams that have done well in the past, but are not looking ideal so far this year. Granted, like I said, you got LSU who just came off of a series loss with Auburn and at home. So you got to be thinking that these guys are wanting to reset their mind. And the other thing we always have to remember is when you are number one, you are going to get everybody's best shot. LSU is not going to lay down quietly. They're going to come out and fight.
Well, and it's LSU. We could be ranked 25th and LSU is going to bring it because just the history between the two programs. You know, I think I said it every week. I'm just absolutely shocked Auburn couldn't get it on track this year. I thought they were a lot better baseball team than what they're showing. They're under 500 overall. Like,
it's crazy.
They're bad. They only got three conference wins. But yeah, LSU, you know, just kind of shows how the SEC beats each other up. They're 7-14 in conference, but they're 28-17 overall. So their non-conference obviously has been successful. And generally you see that Ole Miss and Auburn, I think, are kind of the outliers.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn's the only one sub 500, like overall. Well, Missouri, but I'm just talking about in the West.
Right.
But, man, you got six losses on the year.
Yeah.
I mean, and none of them non-conference. Mm-hmm. You're number one in the RPI. So going – like having back-to-back weekends on the road, that'll be a good challenge. Just to kind of, you know, stay in the moment. What's one of their phrases? Like every day's opening day kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's why we got to treat it. I mean, we're sitting here in prime position to do what we need to do. I mean, we're one game back right now of the entire conference at this stage. So, and at the end of the day, winning conference is fun. But let's face it, we all really want that other one a lot more.
Well, and we've also got the easiest run in of across the board. I think I've seen that, LSU and Ole Miss aren't good this year. I mean,
both 7-14 in conference right now. So,
yeah. So those are series that you expect to win as the number one team. Doesn't matter that you're on the road, you expect to win them. You'd love to get a sweep out of one of them.
Yes.
Because then you know you're making up ground. Because Tennessee and Kentucky, I believe, still haven't played each other.
They already played. They played earlier this year.
There was it. I can't remember the Kentucky, Tennessee, Vandy kind of round robin. I can't remember, but I know that like just based off of kind of strength of schedule going in, these next two series are not on paper, not overly threatening like a series like our final series will be with Arkansas.
Right.
And so really you go to the box, win the series. If you sweep, great, but win the series. Obviously take care of business during the midweek games, but so far so good with that, right? Even with a couple of scares, they've been able to take care of business with their midweek games. Mm-hmm. Then you go to Ole Miss, and that's really a big weekend because that I don't particularly see this as much as it pertains to baseball, maybe more so than like football where you have trap games because you get three games, right?
Right.
So the weekend before that Arkansas series, are they kind of peeking ahead a little bit? Are they going to stay focused on the task at hand? And again, one game at a time. We still haven't played Tarleton yet, so much less travel to the Red Stick. But those are two series that you expect to win. And again, I think we've said it before, and you probably heard it a million times from college baseball guys. You can't ever expect a sweep in the SEC. Like,
no, you don't expect it. It's always a nice surprise. Get it, yeah. Of course, but
great, I mean, you do.
Yeah, like so, you sweep a team like Auburn, who's obviously not very good. That reflects, and you did that well. And you sweep a Vanderbilt team who is obviously very good, and then you've won every series since then, and that's what's going to get you far.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's just over 500 in conference, but I mean they've only lost 13 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. They just
Vanderbilt's a good baseball team, and honestly, what we did to them. Nobody else gonna do.
Blew my mind. I was like, that was probably the most complete series we've played.
Dominant from first pitch on Friday to the final out. Yeah, 100%. That was
certainly the season, but I would say maybe all time for A&M baseball. Just being the number three team at that point, and you're playing number six, and you just they didn't belong on the field with you.
You treat them like they're rank 106th.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
That was an unbelievable series to watch. And that I think that was really where we all said, okay.
That was the big one for me, because I coming into that, I was like, all right, we've done what we were supposed to do. This is going to be the question mark, and you exceeded expectations,
Yeah.
and you've done it. I mean, you've continued to do it, and yeah, you have a loss here and there in the series, but you know, if we can just keep winning, that's all I care about at this stage.
Yeah, just winning series. So big one in the box, just because it's in the box. But honestly, looking at these last three series, I wouldn't have it any other way. I would rather go to LSU and go to Ole Miss and have Arkansas at home. You know, to end the series in Fayetteville would just not be ideal in my mind. And so if you're going to play two teams on the road before you get the finale, and don't you just love how the scheduling works out that series could be really for all of it?
Well, and what's really, really funny is the number of parallels to 89 that we're seeing is insane. Because even going into, I want to say, the very last series we played for the Southwest Conference was against Arkansas, and we had to win two of the three to at least get a share of the title. And we ended up in that last series taking two of three. They won one, of course, but we ended up splitting the Southwest Conference title and eventually getting a chance to win the whole Southwest Conference tournament after that, before we, you know, number one overall, go into the postseason and didn't make it out of our regional, because that was pre-super regional days. And we
Yeah.
lost to LSU twice. Thank you, Ben McDonald, you asshole.
Story gets worse every time he tells it to.
How it drives me nuts. And you know he's calling the game this weekend, and you know he's gonna bring it up, because he always does.
Well, I know Tom Hart will be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ben McDonald's been doing a lot more professional stuff lately. So
He has.
maybe he'll get scooped up by an MLB game, and we won't have to hear how, the A&M fans were so bad that they were throwing puppies at him.
Well, I mean, the battery story's like, what batteries? Get out of here. But SEC
Seriously.
Network and ESPNU, so two nationally broadcast games
Yeah,
from this.
Tom's got both. Tom Hart's got both of those.
There you
Yeah,
go.
in another 5 years, Ben's gonna tell that story, and he's gonna be like, "Yeah, I got shanked.
Oh,
There was a dude up in 203 with a deer rifle. Like, come on,
yeah.
guy."
I mean, wouldn't
But
shock.
LSU and Ole Miss. I mean, you just look at their conference records, right? They're 7-14. So if you just look at that as a ratio, that means all they do is lose series, but they never get swept. Like, if you just kind of look at the numbers and you want to extrapolate it that way, they don't get swept, but they never really win series. That's kind of what a 7-14 record tells you. And
And
you
we've
look at
been,
ours, we're at, almost a 3-1 ratio. So we win series, and every once in a while we sweep, kind of thing. And so if you just base off the numbers and quite frankly, the eye test, I expect to win in LSU. So I'll call a series win all day in LSU, but it's LSU. Things get weird. So I'm not going to sit here and call for a sweep. I'm not sure who Ole Miss has this weekend.
Oh, we can check that.
Yeah, let me see here.
Oh boy. And yeah, we got their schedule here. Boom.
Ole Miss has got Auburn. That actually
That's
might be a really entertaining series to watch.
well, and that might be the confidence boost Ole Miss needs if they can win that series. I mean,
Or completely demoralizing and Auburn wins the series. It's on the
and
plains, so.
yeah, and you just lost at home to Alabama, and yeah, now you got to turn around first. Play Mississippi State in a non-con on Wednesday in Pearl, and then you're going to turn around and take on State and see Auburn in three games
It's a tough week.
this next week. Yeah, it's going to be a
Bama State and Auburn for a team of Ole Miss's caliber that's just hardly over 500 overall. That's kind of a tough week.
is a
There's a
tough.
lot of emotion playing that Mississippi State game. Their little
There are
baseball egg bowl.
always, and that's one of the great rivalries, and one that we all enjoy. And frankly, I love the way they do it. I love the idea of doing, you know, your weekend series where you're going to face off each other, but then not be scared to do a non-con Tuesday for maximum revenue and exposure. You know,
Yeah.
if, you know, let's say here in the next couple of years, A&M and Texas kind of set up a similar deal. We keep playing that Tuesday game, but we rotate that location. So we end up playing, like, you know, maybe the weekend series in Austin, but then like the Tuesday game might be in, I don't know, Round Rock, maybe play it over in Sugar Land or something. I don't know. There's a lot of options there.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, you could do the weekend series where you do back and forth.
Yeah, which is what we used to do. I mean, we used to do like one here, two there, and flip it the next season, you know, and I wouldn't hate that either, with especially with our proximity. I mean,
I thought it was here, there, here. I could have sworn they traveled both days. I don't know. I mean, it's close enough to be able to pull it off.
No, I remember at least my 2 years when we played them in full series in 2011 and 12. We played the last two games in College Station my freshman year and the last two games in Austin my sophomore year. So that was the way that they had done it. Then they may shake it up. I don't know. There's a lot that could happen.
I don't know. I'll be keeping an eye on that Ole Miss Auburn series, quite frankly, this weekend. Same here. Yeah.
I think that'll be very good.
Then obviously us in the box. So thankfully get two of them on national television. So that should bring some more eyes. We're sending one on the RPI. So, I mean, right now, I don't even think it's possible to play ourselves out of a national seed. But, I mean, I guess if we went over.
For the rest of the year, basically.
Yeah, but, like realistically, I don't think there's any way we can play ourselves out of a one seed. Swapping diamonds.
Yeah, softball.
Softball, they were off.
They were.
So they had like a super late bye, which I love.
I mean, it's a good time to breathe. I mean, you just took care of business, with your Ole Miss series the previous weekend, and you took care of two pretty solid outings in the midweek. And now you get a nice break before you have to go down to Gainesville.
Yeah, I love it. A&M's currently sitting at 13 in the RPI, so we're really bubblish as far as hosting is concerned. I think we're going to need some – well, I mean, excuse me, super hosting.
Yeah.
Regional, I think, again, they would have to lose all three of Florida and you know, do one and done in the SEC tournament pretty much.
Yeah.
I think to lose a regional host. Florida, unfortunately, is below us in the RPI too. They're 16th, so I don't know how much. I mean, you still get some help. I mean, if you can somehow go and sweep this series, I think you might be able to talk your way into a super, depending on what you do in the conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on the road to number 11 Florida, sweep them, and then go on a run in the SEC tournament, I can definitely see the argument.
So you got Tennessee at 8 RPI. There's two other SEC teams in the top 8, LSU and Georgia.
Yeah.
Missouri's right there at 9. So obviously SEC softball is good. We know that, right? No. But I think what might be one of the bigger telling things is, how do we finish the regular season? Because remember, there's no East and West in softball.
Right.
So it's just the standings. And we are one game behind Tennessee. I can't remember who Tennessee is playing. I had it pulled up. You've got Florida on the road. That's a tough series. I think we know that. But let me click and get this right here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Florida on the series. So first of all, you have to, on your end, you have to go to Florida and at least win the series. Yeah, it's not going to matter what Tennessee does. But if there's any way you can sweep it, then you're really keeping your eye on that. It's Tennessee and Kentucky, but unfortunately, it looks like they're playing in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's just not that good. So even you may sweep Florida, but if Tennessee holds serve, it's not going to matter. So, but again, you're talking about a team that a lot of people picked about last in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing job so far with a lot of softball left to play. You got your one series left. You got the SEC tournament. I think they can play their way into a super regional, but again, we really could use Kentucky to play out of their minds this weekend. And then you really need to make some thunder in the SEC tournament. And again, this is just talk about hosting a super. I think they've got a regional locked up. I don't think they're going to go to Florida and get swept. I don't think they're going to one and done in the conference tournament. So, well, in fact, they should, and they'll have the buys as well. Cause the second conference.
Yeah.
Potential, like we've talked about for a couple of weeks, potential of possibly be hosting two supers here. So just what a time, you know, for both diamond sports.
Yeah, should be an exciting next couple of months over there for sure. I mean,
honestly, it's this Florida game is so big. or Florida series, excuse me, is just so big. Just because I think that it also sets a little bit of the tone heading into the conference tournament and heading into postseason. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a week off where you're able to get right a little bit, get some rest, kind of get your mind right. Maybe just step away from the game for a couple of days just to, you know, reset. And it's almost like a tiny little mini vacation right near the end. And so I love being able to pull out of the grind. You know, you worry that, you know, if when they're clicking, you hope that, you know, taking a weekend off doesn't hurt you. But I mean, that could be any part of the season, but it's a big series for them going to Florida. And I will absolutely be watching all those games.
Yeah. Good, 100%. Good time to rest right now and get set for that series. It's going to be a good time, I think. Man. So what all did you have going on this week? Anything fun?
Yeah, I mean, just working, man. Last week, you know, I had to kind of get back in the saddle because coming back from muster, I didn't get back till late Monday night. So it was, you know, just another short week for me. I had two short weeks in a row. So just trying to work my butt off and get caught up on everything. Muster was obviously great, like I said. It's kind of, I don't know if you kind of feel it, but it's weird how, you know, I know that June 21st is, you know, the official first day of summer, right?
Right.
But you know, growing up, Memorial Day weekend was always the first day of summer because like when the pool's open and that's when like summer really truly kicks into gear, right?
Oh yeah.
Because you know, growing up, you're not a college kid, you're not getting out of school, you know, the 6th of May. You know, you're slamming all the way through May. But it just feels this year, like we're about to turn the calendar to May. It just feels like I don't know, and spring and summer put me in a great mood. Yeah. And like, I kind of feel that coming, like that positivity coming. So I'm excited. If we could, I love the amount of rain we got, but if we could space it out a little bit better, that would be wildly helpful.
Just yeah. That's going to be the tough thing kind of coming into this next week. We were eyeballing it a little bit, but yeah, National Weather Service is definitely feeling like we're going to be seeing rain. Really kind of starting up again, maybe as early as tonight, but they're thinking primarily Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even chances Saturday, Sunday right now. So it's not as crazy as what they were saying before, but definitely good chance for rain and storms there.
The perfect weekend to have a way series.
Yeah, no kidding. I will say that for sure. And obviously, I want to say something real quick for the fine folks up in Nebraska and Oklahoma who were affected by the tornadoes this past week. Just you know, our thoughts and prayers are with y'all. We understand that's not an easy situation. Obviously, there's still a lot of information coming out about a lot of these storms. They haven't really confirmed official ratings on a lot of these things yet. I mean, I've seen threes and fours, but even so, I mean, a three will effectively destroy a house, a four will completely get rid of it. And that's never a great situation for families. And especially on a day that really overperformed for a lot of people in terms of tornado production. So
yeah,
kind of a crazy couple of days up there, as well as our friends over in Madisonville, they saw one too. So it's crazy.
I hate to bring this up, but I will.
All right.
Sorry about only getting you a point.
That's all right. It's okay.
I mean, looks like Liverpool's out of it.
Man, we're out of it, and it is what it is at this stage. I mean,
I desperately want City to win just because I don't want Arsenal to win.
I really don't want either one of them to win.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I mean, let's face it. You know my issues with City, and everybody understands the reason why people would despise City, and it's such a wrong way to go about the game, but it is what it is. I can't control that. I'm just an American fan.
I just wish that everyone would be punished equally, but we know that's not going to happen because that's just not sports work.
Nope.
But you know, West Ham's just mired around the middle of the table again, just ho-hum kind of blah performance for the year. But there is some excitement. It sounds like we're going to be changing managers, hopefully.
We will be too.
Y'all don't have the choice. David Moyes apparently has a contract extension like on his desk, and he was going to wait till the end of the season. I'm really kind of, well, honestly, I wish he'd left last year. He would have left on a great high note, sure. You know, winning Europa conference. Yeah, it's so there's excitement for me just being a West Ham fan, like being an Aggie. I'm really excited for next year.
Oh, yeah. That's how that goes.
I'm not saying that next year is going to be the year by any means, but I'm just looking forward to just something different, man. Moyes ball is just absolutely killing me. It's just bleh. You can't claim to be a defensive specialist and then go get rocked, three out of five games. So looking forward to it. I'm sad because we're only, three or four games from the season being over. And that's the one crappy thing about the summer is we don't get any Premier League.
Right.
But this summer, something else to be very excited about, because I'm a massive junkie about it, is Paris.
Yeah.
So we do have the Olympics coming up, and that makes me incredibly excited. I love the Olympics.
The Olympics are like so much fun, especially summer.
I will watch an alarming amount of Olympics. I'll watch stuff. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot of sports by watching Olympics. Like, I taught myself curling. Mm-hmm. Turns out, I found out 2 years ago during the Winter Olympics, I love watching the biathlon, where they ski and they target shoot.
Right.
Like, that was fascinating to me. But yeah, Summer Olympics are a ton of fun. One, I think Americans probably love the Summer Olympics more just because generally we're more competitive.
We tend to be. Although, like I said, we do hold our own fairly well in the winter, which is
getting better.
Yeah. And we've been getting better, no question.
Yeah.
But I will say, it's always fun. When we get around about to the summertime for the Olympics, I mean, that's always a great world building kind of deal. And it's a lot of fun and we all enjoy it. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy the Olympics every time it comes back.
Well, in my time as a student, as a yeller, getting to meet a lot of the swimming and diving, like I've really gotten into watching the swimming and diving. I love that stuff. Track and field, I think everybody likes.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, I'm getting more into Winter Olympics. We just don't win as much in the Winter Olympics. So it's like, if you're from Norway, I bet you love the Winter Olympics a lot more than you like the Summer Olympics. You know what I'm saying?
Almost guarantee. I mean, yeah. Even our friends up in Canada, of course, but
because the ski jump is amazing.
I love the ski jump. Yeah.
But so looking forward to the Olympics, honestly. I love the Olympics. I'm a total nerd about it. I will watch an alarming amount of Olympics on TV, and so kind of have that to look forward to in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
So we can sit inside in the air conditioning and watch some sports for a little bit. But yeah, other than that, man, I'm just chugging along, brother. It's just working and now dealing with, the house. So I guess the good Lord wanted me to change my flooring about a year or two before I had planned on it.
Well, sometimes you just got to go with it and do what you got to do.
Well, I don't really have a choice on this one.
No, exactly. So on our front, we've actually picked up some good stuff. So, we've got a handful of shows coming up that are going to be good to keep an ear out for. So we're going to be at Magnolia Motor Lounge up there in Fort Worth this Friday. So if you're in the Fort Worth area and you want to come hang out, please, we'd love to see you. Then we're going down to Crosby tomorrow, that next day on Saturday. Then we actually have we just picked up a College Station show on May 9th. We will be at Shiner Park on a Thursday. So Shiner's trying to get some shows going, and they were throwing out money offers to a lot of people, being like, all right, we're just trying to get things going. Can somebody help us out? And we were like, yeah, sure, we'll come play. So we'll be out there at Shiner on the 9th. Then we'll have our live record at Cat Spring Hall May 11th. If you haven't gotten those tickets, get them now. They are going quick after that. We're gonna be in Temple. We're playing the air show out there with John Wolf of there at the airport, so that'll be fun. Before we go all the way up to Farwell, Texas, the next day, which is way up there in the panhandle.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, Farwell, Muleshoe, it's up there by Portales, Clovis area in New Mexico, so it's like way up there.
Oh, it's on the New Mexico side?
Yeah, it's a lot closer towards New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, then we're going to Fort Scott, Kansas, Basement East in Nashville. Got a Gainesville show.
I've actually got a farm that I'm going to try and sell up in Barrington.
There you go.
Perryton, excuse me.
Yeah, Perryton, Texas. These are the two I wanted to make sure everybody knew about. So we have we have three shows coming up in June that we just picked up. The 20th, 22nd, 21st. 20th, we will be up in Amarillo at the Starlight Ranch. All three of these were opening for Corey Kent, but we will be up there on the 20th of June up there in Amarillo. The next 2 days, we're at Kane's Ballroom with Corey Kent. And the beauty of it is day one already sold out.
Wow.
So, and yeah, like I said, the show's not till like later part of June. So, I mean, that's cool. Away. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
That's going to be a good show for us. Yeah, we got a few other things coming up. We haven't announced like singles or anything, potentially looking at releasing Rope the Moon sometime this next month here in May.
That's not the one I'm waiting for.
No, I know it's not. But the other thing we've been working on, the thing I'm excited for, I was working on the album art, which we're kind of going for a book theme now. So, you know, my previous album art that I had done, it was good. I enjoyed it. But Carson said, hey, how about we kind of go for a theme on this? Maybe we can use some of these designs for like shirts and things. We can do this for the albums. So that's what I was doing the last couple of days. It's been good. We're just trying to stay busy.
Well, unlike the last 2 weeks, I do not have any hot takes for food.
No. All right. Well, I got one for you. Ran up to Hard Eight Barbecue there in Stephenville, which is very good barbecue. God, what is going on with barbecue prices, man? They're so stinking expensive now.
So this is interesting. I was actually listening to Bryce Jones. He was on Louis Bellina's show last week or week before. But he does a competition barbecue, like Smoking Aces, and they're good. I mean, they're real good. But he was talking about it, and I get it. Like if we'd somehow made it, you know, through past COVID, I still don't know if I'd be open because, the margins on barbecue are already razor thin. They were razor thin 5-10 years ago, you know, and now it's just gotten completely out of control. So I mean, if you have a barbecue joint, you're doing it for the love of it, man. Like it's you're not making any money. And so this is all just getting passed on to the customer. And oddly enough, you know, you look at, I saw something yesterday talking about, you know, McDonald's figured out how to, how to not pay $20 wages. They just got rid of the employees and started putting the automated kiosks, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're eliminating that money, then why are the prices still where they are? So this is the problem. And this goes back, like one of my examples I use a ton is the lumber industry. Mm-hmm. You know, during COVID and coming out of COVID, you know, prices shot up. Mm-hmm. What incentive do they have to lower them? They know we'll pay for it now.
Exactly. That's been the big sticking point, right?
Yeah. And so barbecue, I think to an extent does that less. Maybe like the top 5 or 10 joints, they feel like they can charge whatever they want to. But even just a mom and pop trying to get barbecue done, the margins have become so thin that going out to eat barbecue is almost untenable. In the long run, it will be cheaper for you to buy a smoker and teach yourself how to do it. Yeah. Honestly. Like it's completely insane now.
Well, no, like I said, I like going out to barbecue, and like we tend to end up eating it quite a bit on the road because obviously it's easy to make in mass and it's easy to serve a lot of people doing it that way. And not to mention, I can't tell you how many venues I've been to where, oh, the best barbecue in the state is right here. And I'm like, all right. Well,
barbecues are subjective. So everybody thinks that their barbecue is the best. Or they have a joint and you can't talk them off that ledge, period.
Oh yeah.
Like we went out to, I met a friend that was in town a couple weeks ago. He was in Austin. I was like, hey, let's just meet halfway. Cause I just wanted to see him. Cause he was in town from out of country.
Yeah.
And, so we met in Giddings, just at a barbecue joint that I could find that was open. And it was four of us, and it was well over $100. And like, and we weren't like sitting down to grub. We were just sitting down to snack and kind of try it out. Like we weren't smashing food by any means.
No,
and it was well over $100, and it was literally just like snacking kind of portions. So I feel you on the barbecue joints. You know, places like Rudy's and C&J's will always be a little bit slower to raise their prices just because they have such a, I don't want to call it fast food model, but to an extent, it really is kind of it's as fast food of a model as you can make for barbecue. That's why I think Rudy's is so impressive, just that they're able to create the same flavor profile at you know, a million locations. Because barbecue, it's one of the hardest things in barbecue is to open a second restaurant and get it right.
Right. And I mean, that's true of like any kind of small business, small setup, you know, where it's like, you know, when you make it more corporate, like what you're seeing with those guys, I mean, you've made a process out of it and it rocks and rolls. And
but with smokers, there's that extra element. It's not only the smoker, but it's also the pit master, because if you're going to open a second location, that pit master can't run both.
Right.
Yeah, so there's, there's even, you know, an added element that goes into it when you're talking about, you know, doing barbecue and multiplying. So I've always been impressed with the Rudy's model. I mean, Rudy's is it's barbecue, you know, it's right. It's go in, get out barbecue, you know,
right.
You're not going there for the ambiance. You're not going there, you know, to sit down for it. Like it's a fast food of barbecue, but they've done it well. So you have to tip your cap to them. But as far as barbecue joints these days, the cost is just, it's completely asinine.
It is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but you know, it's not because these pit masters and these owners are wanting to buy Ferraris. It's just how the prices have been sent down the line of the supply chain, and it really, really sucks.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It really sucks for the consumers too, quite frankly.
Well, and that's the thing I always have to keep in mind. It's like a lot of times these businesses, they don't want to charge that if they don't have to, and I respect that aspect of it. It's just, it does suck going around town and, you know, any kind of local spot, just seeing the prices go up, no matter where you go. You know, when I used to be able to pay, you know, $10 $10 for a cheeseburger, fries or whatever from somewhere, now it's like, you know, $15, $18, $20 with certain places. It's like, I understand the frustrations.
Man, I sat down and did my budget, well, not budget, but I really wanted to pour through my expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, you know, portioning stuff out and figuring it out. And I was like, and the amount of money I can save, and that's the cash. Like, I can also cook, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not losing any sort of quality or flavor by cooking at home. It's just me doing the dishes and me taking the time to do it, which I love though. Like, cooking is my love language. I love cooking. I love cooking for people too. Like, I love people's reactions when I cook for them. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I love so much about having my own restaurant is having people like truly love what you're putting out. You know, love your product.
And it was great, man. Like I said, the white queso Mac to this day is one of my all time favorites, man.
Yeah. Big Macs. Everybody always accosts me and says, man, I love those Big Macs. But I looked at it, I broke it down. I was like, holy crap, man. Like, the amount of money I can save literally just by cooking at home. Yeah. I can make a burger as good as Chili's does. You know, I can do barbecue. You know, I can do seafood. I can do it all. You know, the only thing I can't do, honestly, is sushi. Cause right. I've never taken a sushi class. I don't know how to do it. So that's probably one of the only things that I can't do. Yeah. But if I really wanted to do it, I bet you I'd teach myself.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. And like, and my dad's in the same boat. Like, he just one of the gifts we got him for Father's Day or maybe Christmas. I can't remember which one it was. We got him a true hibachi so he could cook.
Oh, nice.
And he loves cooking on that hibachi, let me tell you. So, because like, we're big fried rice people, and we like going out to hibachi restaurant doing steak and fried rice and whatever else. And the fact we can do it at the house now with the way my dad knows how to cook a steak, ooh. Yes, sir.
Yeah, one of my favorite additions over the last year, I think it was like 2 years ago, I got a massive wok.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
a good wok.
Yeah, 100%.
My favorite Pantera song right there.
Oh.
A bad joke.
That is not my favorite Pantera song, by the way.
No, what is your favorite Pantera song, honestly?
I can't say it on the air.
Oh, okay.
But it's definitely Hostile.
Okay. Fair enough. I like that one. That's a good one. Honestly, I think one of my favorite things that ever happened in a Pantera song is on Destruction. There is a phenomenal breakdown at the end of that song. And to this day, might be one of the heaviest breakdowns that ever happened in music. It set the trend for all these metalcore guys and these guys doing, yeah, we're doing a breakdown. I'm like, it all started with Pantera, man. Dimebag Darrell, my goodness gracious. What a great guitar player.
Speaking of Pantera... We can get on one last thing before we close up.
Sure.
I tell you what, after the first two games at home, I wasn't really liking the vibe with the Stars, but they went on the road, and I tell you what, the Stars are showing more than just signs of life. I don't know if, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there that watch it and watch the intermission reports. And I think it was PK Subban. He was just absolutely railing on. He's like, Dallas is just a better team. They're skating harder. They're playing harder. Like they said, Vegas doesn't even deserve to be in this game. Somehow they are. So I thought last night's game, we really saw a bit of a flipping a switch. And I know that they won game three, but you know, maybe that was the catalyst to, you know, heading into game four. It was like, hey, we're back in this. You know, all we got to do is win. You know, we got to win this tonight. We get home ice back. We take control back of the series.
Yeah.
And the way they played last night was some of the best I've seen them play. And, you know, in my limited vision, just because I don't get a ton of Stars games, I don't get the frozen ice package. But they were just, I'll tell you what, if you like hockey, last night was so much fun. And if you like hockey, then you love, you know, you love playoff hockey, because there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like playoff hockey.
No. Hockey is such a fun sport, and it's unfortunate that it doesn't have as much coverage in Texas. Obviously, you do get it with it's growing quite a bit. There's no question about that.
It is.
With the Stars, there's a big push, obviously, for Houston to finally get a team at some point soon, which I think would be great. That would just further expand the ideas of wanting to get more down here. Because I think if you have a team in Dallas and you got a team in Houston, all these college-level teams, which are there, are getting a higher profile by proxy. It's not a bad deal.
Well, and you get a ton more viewership too, because there's people down in Houston, they're like, I won't root for a Dallas team, period. And so, you know, that knocks out the only hockey team in Texas. And Texas certainly has the market to support multiple sporting teams. You know, we can see that between the Texans and the Cowboys. Got the Rockets, the Mavs, and the Spurs. So it's obvious that it can happen. Rangers and the Stros, you know. Yeah. So there's plenty of market in Texas to pull it off. And hockey's doing a better job of getting a little bit more on television and some real better time slots. And I tweeted something about playoff hockey last night, and somebody responded. They're like, you know, I never got into hockey because I never played it growing up. It wasn't big. You know, it wasn't really on TV in Texas, and I can't ice skate. And what's funny is I'm the exact same way. I can stay up on hockey skates, but that's about it. Like, it's one of the cruelest things on the planet is how much I love hockey and how little I can ice skate. But I didn't grow up watching it ever. Yeah. Except for the Olympics. Is the only time I would ever watch hockey was once every 4 years. I'd watch the Olympics. And then just kind of in my late teens, I fell in love with hockey. And it was easy to fall in love with hockey at the time, because I was a lot of it came from growing up watching Headbangers Ball, believe it or not. And Ricky Rackman would always wear New York Rangers jerseys. And so I kind of started to try to pay attention to it a little bit. And this was back when, you know, they had Messier and McTavish and Richter in goal. And this, it was, and they won their first Stanley Cup, first one in like 40 or 50 years. And so, you know, I started following a team that had success. So it's easy, you know, it's easy to get into the sport. Right.
Sure.
And then I remember, you know, growing up, Fox really tried to push it. Remember, they had like the color on the puck when it shot, so you could track the puck better, trying to help people get into hockey.
Yeah.
But I've just grown to absolutely love the sport, and it has nothing to do with me growing up being around it or playing it. I grew up outside of Houston. We had the Arrows. So, I mean, I went to a couple of Arrows games here or there. But man, if they get it, they've got to be the Arrows. It's just, I can't imagine them not being there. I'm going to be so pissed off if Houston gets a hockey team and it's not the Houston Arrows. I am going to riot the street.
There's a huge push in the city of Houston. That's what a lot of people have been saying. It's like, you keep it on theme for like the aerial space theme, which is what Houston is. I mean, across all the sports minus football, everything else is all spacey or arrow. You know, it's like, so why not be the Arrows? And you know, if you want to spice up the color scheme, if you want to spice up the logos, that's fine.
No, Oilers love you blue.
That's the one I was gonna say. I've seen so many concepts where they've shown like, do the love you blue and the red with the Arrows.
Filthy, so good looking.
I would get all over those. Those are great, man. I mean, like me, as like I said, I'm a hockey fan. My fandom, much like my football fandom, was kind of influenced by dad. Dad kind of went hardcore on all the Pittsburgh sports. So Penguins for dad. And so I became a Pens fan, and I've supported them, you know, and obviously when they were clicking and doing very well, it was easy to support. And I still watch the games. But you know, when it comes to playoff time, you know, right now I will pull for Dallas because that's the closest one to us and all that good stuff. But at the same time, the moment Houston gets a team, and if it's the Arrows and if it is that color scheme, oh, I will go all in.
I'm gonna have to make a decision at that point.
Yeah, you are.
Well, what's funny is, and I know it's sacrilegious to just diehard hockey fans, but I still love the Rangers.
Sure.
I've always liked the Rangers. They were the first hockey team I ever started paying attention to. I mean, I don't pay a ton of attention to them anymore. And again, we don't get a ton of games anyway, so it's not like I'm bypassing Rangers games to watch something else.
Right.
But the color scheme is great. Just being in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, you can get on board disliking New Jersey. So, like, I'm big with that, too. Like, I'm fine with that.
Nobody likes New Jersey.
But you know, the Stars will be my team. That's gonna be a problem for me, man. Honestly, like if Houston does get a team, it's, I mean, I love the Stars, but it's one of those, I may have to love them both except for when they play, and then, you know,
right.
But I'm from the time, I'm gonna have to pull for the Houston team.
Yep, H town hold it down, baby. Well, if you haven't done so, feel free to go and follow us on all of our fun socials. I mean, it's Rob the Slapper and, of course, Roy May 15 on Twitter. We're both on Instagram, as well as this podcast. Thank you so much for everybody that was making comments this past week and supporting us. That was really cool.
I am super lame on Instagram, so don't, yeah. I mean, you can follow. I mean, I'd love for the follow, but I really suck on Instagram.
That's okay.
I'm old.
You're old, but it's all right. I'm getting there. I ain't far behind you. Well, like I said, we really appreciate you guys saying kind words about the podcast. Feel free to continue to share it out to your friends. We would love additional exposure. And, you know, if you know somebody that likes to hear some ramblings from a couple of Aggies talking some sports and food and music and other all that fun crap, we love to do it. So I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you. Beat the ever-living hell out of the bye week. For softball, beat the ever living hell out of LSU this weekend.
Beat the hell out of Florida.
No, Florida. Yeah, Florida's. Yeah, that's right. That is third, fourth, fifth.
Yeah,
this
we
week.
Just passed the bye week.
We did pass the bye. So
beat the hell out of Florida and beat the hell out of LSU.
Yes, beat the hell out of Florida. Beat the hell out of LSU.
And Tarleton.
And Tarleton.